Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
What up, what up? We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs post-game. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and get her going in the comments for us. Auston Matthews, 62. That has a nice ring to it. Leafs win 6-4, and for a game I thought was over in the second, those pesky Cats sure made it interesting, didn't they, CP? What'd you think of this one?
Yeah, that got a little closer than it needed to be, but I wouldn't expect anything less. I mean, you called it in the group chat after the second, kind of bad vibes by you, but I mean, what can you expect from this team? So, I felt a little bit like Florida found the Achilles heel and they were just like, okay, let's just get as many shots from the point. We'll get tips. And, you know, a couple of them, they walked down like, you know, the bit of the slot to take a shot. So not necessarily Sammy's greatest game, but not necessarily all on him. Like the Leafs didn't play amazing in the third, but definitely those first two periods though were awesome. I mean, I felt like the Leafs were the faster, stronger, you know, more skilled team. Matthews' line was just dominating. Even the fourth line, you know, getting a goal actually, but actually contributing. So lots of good things in the first two, but like always,
the first two did not look like playoff hockey. Let's be honest here. It didn't. The Leafs owned, and that is just, I guess I have seen that in, you know, game one against Tampa, and then they turn around and get owned the next game. But the Leafs, they showed up, and they wanted this one, especially Matt Nyes wanted this one. But I'd like to point out that I didn't say that it was over until they scored that fifth goal, which never got tied up with. So technically I was right. I didn't jinx nothing. Did it all on their own.
They always do it all on their own. So.
Well, I'm just saying it was not my fault. I am not that important. And also technically I was right. So talk about Samsonov to start. 100 wins for Ilya Samsonov. And he did make some big saves in this game. A massive save at the end of the first. Massive save early in the second against Lundell. But you're right. Those shots from the point, still his Achilles heel. We thought he found it. Maybe it's just the team defending better from the point, and maybe that's what needs to happen against these Panthers team. But Ilya Samsonov, that Montour goal, he didn't even see it. Like they said it in the broadcast, and it's obvious, but he wasn't even aware that the puck was coming toward him. That's not good.
He didn't even know Montour had the puck. Like he was still looking at the previous player, and so. Like, yeah, that's tough. That makes me feel like he needs to go see an eye doctor or something. But, just always has had trouble tracking the puck. He's been way better. Like all these big saves are because he's been a lot calmer in his net and he's not putting himself out of position. So, you know, that's what was making him, like, have his real awful streak. But, yeah, it doesn't make me feel amazing that we're still seeing this, but... like you said, he came up big. Like it could have been at least 5-3 going into the second easily.
Yeah, but all you have to do is be better than the other guy, and he was. They outscored their problems tonight. I know that you don't like to see that from Samsonov, but I'm still fully confident about this guy going into the playoffs. Like he's still the number one, even after a little bit of a shaky game tonight. The first, you know, period and a half. He looked like an absolute elite goalie. So until the floodgates opened when they started finding, you know, 2-3-4, I guess, because it was 5-1. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So 2-3-4, those were the problem goals. But before that, before all that shit went down, he looked really, really good. And again, I wonder how much can you put on that on Sammy and how much can you say, like, you know, the defense needs to be better in those areas.
Oh, like the defense definitely needed to be better. Like even if you just go through them, like the ones, the Montour, there's another tip in front of the net, like a I think it, whoever the last goal was like walk down just like the left slot uncontested. Brody doesn't really, he kind of tries to block it. You know, the other one's like the pass from behind the net to the, like the right side, and like McCabe and Brody got mixed up on their D assignment. Like, I'm not sure if they're supposed to be switching left side, right side, but like Brody just decided that he was the right D now. And
maybe he forgot because he's been stuck there so much.
Yeah. So like, yeah, that was kind of just like McCabe took a look to his left to see like, okay, I'm now on the left. So he looked as to his left, but really should have looked to his right first, because by the time he did, it was too late. So yeah, like all of them are kind of like high out to dry in a way, besides the shots from the point, which just, we're just seeing that that's still a problem.
Two of those tonight. Yeah, that was not good. That Montour one, that makes me nervous. Simon Deschamps, he says, so close of the disaster. And I think I know what he means. That was very close to a disaster. Very, we all know very close to a disaster. We all know.
Yeah.
Simon or Simon, I'm not sure. Yeah, we know. We know. But they made it, and that's the point. So big game for Matthew Knies. And as far as I'm concerned, that man had a Gordie Howe hat trick tonight. He was taken out of the Panthers series last spring by Sam Bennett. And tonight he had a goal, primary assist, and a roughing penalty sticking up for a line mate, which pretty much could have been a fight. So, you know, Matthew Knies, you think he's taking Florida a little more seriously? Do you think all that shit I talked about him, I'm going to be eating when it comes playoff time?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, he's a big body, and we've seen it multiple times that like when he decides that he's going to be like a rough and tumble guy, like he's good at it. Like he can lay a hit. Like it's not like a just this easy thing to do to be a guy that throws hits. Like there's timing involved. You kind of you got to pick your spots properly, and he seems to do that the right way. So I think I'm wondering though where he ends up in the lineup. Because like this third line with all the kids, like it had its moments tonight, but it also had its negative moments. Then he kind of got a bit of a bump up the lineup, and he got some shifts with Tavares. So like I was a conversation with my dad actually on the weekend, and like he thinks Knies should be higher in the lineup, and like it's hard to disagree. Just I'm not sure what the third line will be, and I think it's just, it's no question going to be the weakest line. So if he's on that, like, I'm not sure he'll have so much success, but he came out like just from out like the very start to, I think it's Mikola that he tried to get the fight with, who's a much bigger guy than him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Mikola and didn't want to,
likes to fuck around too. Like,
yeah. And like, he didn't want to drop the gloves. Like, I think by the way, Knies went in, it was kind of a rookie way of trying to get a fight. Cause like Mikola made like the smarter choice to not, and he knew that a power play was coming. So I think he just needs to learn to pick his spots in, as far as dropping the gloves a bit more. But I'll like remember to when he dropped the gloves last time, he just confettied them and the guy obliged him. So like he's just hasn't had enough of these like experiences to really know, like last time this worked for him, but in the playoffs they're gonna like try and goad him into doing that. So hopefully you can like pick a spot, pick a guy who actually wants to do it. And like the broadcast in intermission said, I think it was Colby that said it, but like do the little like glove shake, you know? And if Mikola doesn't want to like fight, then like he's kind of, you've just won it already by like him turning it down. So yeah, I thought that was a great point. Yeah. That's something Domi would do. Like Domi would go and glove shake at someone and you know, kind of,
although he might just punch them in the mouth with his glove on, cause that guy's squirrely.
Yeah. That's also a vet move, though. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely vet move. So Simon with another one. He says, this game reminds me of the game against Detroit, that famous 7-1 game after 2, and Toronto won 10-8. Do you remember that, CP?
I do. I remember the game. And I don't remember all the goals, but yeah, that it could have been for sure. I'm hoping to see that, like, I know that we don't like, you know, 2-0 games, but like against Tampa, I'd like it to maybe be a 3-1 win. That'd be a little,
I would have been fine with 5-1, 5-2 tonight. I would have been just fine with that. Actually, when they scored the fifth goal, I was thinking, don't score anymore, because now you're just going to piss them off. And you know what what happens, right? When teams get run up like that, they really start figuring out their defense. No. You have to give them this false sense of security going into the playoffs so we can just trample through them. You can't let them know that we've got their number.
I think, though, like, I would have agreed with you last year, but this year, like, I feel like the Leafs are the more physical, tougher team. And so, like, I would welcome a bit more of a physical battle, which, like, they didn't tend to engage in much tonight. You know, like you said off the top, like, the Leafs came out and, like, played it like a playoff game. And, like, Florida didn't really, like, Tkachuk wasn't, like, you know, mixing it up. So I'm not sure if they're not trying to, like, play their cards, but I'm pretty sure that Paul Maurice was pretty upset with how they played the first two periods. So, it was an odd game to judge for me, as like, because like you said, it wasn't a playoff vibe from like the whole game from both halves. So, we'll see when they really get down and dirty.
We're also missing some key players, and I'm not sure, were they missing any key players? I don't think so, but I know we don't have Marner and there's no Riley right now. So, I mean, like, our lines are going to look different. And do you wonder, that's got to do nothing but help in the playoffs, right?
Right. Yeah. They didn't see what we're actually going to bring. And like, they might see like a bit of it. You're right. Like, I guess, I think that the top line currently we're going to see Marner slot in there somewhere, but like Keith's going to go with that line at some point. Like, it's been so successful for so long now that like it would be stupid that if you're trailing in a game that you don't mix it up. And that's the first thing that you're going with. So, and also like Marner, I think in a game like for tonight, probably would have made his way onto the second line anyway, because like it was having a tough time, keeping its head above water. So, Keith's going to jumble it again. Like, I know that you don't like the 17 different lines, but it's going to happen.
Like, yeah, it's going to happen. Honestly, and like, I want to keep this Bertuzzi Matthews Domi line together. Like, I want it with every fiber of my being. I want that to happen and somehow find a place for Marner on this team that makes sense. Like, I don't know who goes where, but like, it's, I love that they have the stretch that they do now. And I wonder if it's more of a, I hate to do this to Bobby McMahon, but if it's Tavares, Marner, Nylander thing that you go and do. Tavares, Marner, Nylander.
Yeah, that'd be something. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't seen much of that. Like, when you load up, that's not the load up, right? Cause...
No. And then you could run Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, which has been having success.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't hate that because, like, I think Bobby can be successful down the lineup. Like, he's not this guy that has to be in the top six to do his thing. And yes, he's not going to produce as much if he's not on the wing of Tavares and Willie. But I think that like he can like tonight, he's the guy that gets put out there with Matthews and Willie to shut down the game. Like, he's a responsible player. And so on a third line, he only makes that better. And that's where like I kind of feel like Nye's like, you know, he probably gets bumped down to the fourth because like Bobby's ahead of him in my mind. Like, he's better defensively, he's faster. Nice in times can skate the puck out, but like only in like kind of lower competition. Where Bobby, he like straight line skates, he can get a puck out. A smarter player, I think. But
speaking of that fourth line, David Kampf had a fuck of a goal tonight, didn't he? Oh, Steve Dangle tweeted, he said he only scores once a month, but when he does, they're nasty. And he's so right. David Kampf scores dirty goals. And remember the one time he loaded up for a Michigan? He didn't end up doing it, but he loaded up for it. Yeah. Do you remember that game? I'll never forget that sight in my eyes, him bending over and trying to pick the puck up, running out of time.
Yeah.
David Kampf. So you wonder a line, what would it be? Doer, Kampf, Nyes? That was your fourth?
Yeah, like we're running out of spots because, like, you know, Reeves has had a great game. Like, and he knows exactly how to toe that line between getting a board and driving someone's head into the boards, like for it to be a penalty or not. And so like he's at current form. Like I would like him to be at least in game one. And so I'm not sure where we go from there.
I'm sure he's going to play some games and it's probably going to be game one. Cause that's, we talked about this, the whole fucking, it's going to be violent. Remember? So he'll probably see a game one, but there's going to be a mix of lines in here. And you're right. You're running out of spots and it's a good problem to have because everybody's playing good. You have Nyes on the fourth line. That means Reeves got to sit every now and again. Well, then you put Marner in there to fill that extra spot. Well, now what do you do when a Yarncroke comes back? Well, then you got to take somebody else out. So, I mean, it's going to be good to have that rotation of forwards going through and not just going to be kind of stuck with the same old look every single game. It'll be nice to have you know, a mix. And like, this isn't this guy, it's not gonna be like switching whole lines, and God forbid Kerfoot is our 2C. I'm so glad we can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I'm so happy that we don't have to do what line is Kerfoot going to be on, but yeah.
But it would be nice to have guys that you can, that are good, that you're like, this guy legitimately should be playing, and you toss him in the lineup. And so he's got to set a game. Well, it sucks. Well, a guy that's coming in for him, he's legitimately good too. So like, you only have like top eight players, which is great to have, like, you know, talking about depth. That's what you need. You need less of a drop off between the lines, and I think it's a good problem to have. I could see Nyes on the fourth line as well, but I honestly wonder, how does everybody fit in, and you know, how do you make this team work without tinkering at this point?
Yeah, and I think like, if we're talking about Yarncroke slotting back in, then like, I take the positives that he brings to the game, and at that point I think Reeves sits, because like, it's like when I'm having a discussion about whether to have, you know, Pontus Holmberg or Reeves in it, like there's a discussion. But when it becomes a Yarncroke, like that's a guy that could really score like some important goals. Like, he's on power play too.
Well,
so at that point,
I don't think he's ever scored in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. But him and Willie, are you sure? Cause like, him and Willie had to play together.
Yeah, no, he fell off a cliff in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah,
from my memory last year, and then from my memory before, he was great in Nashville, and he got traded to Calgary, and he fell off a cliff in the playoffs, and was not a good player in the playoffs. So I just don't know whether it's the style, the pressure, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's the long season. Maybe it's injuries. Maybe he'll be good this time. I don't know. But he has had problems, and he's not known to be lighting it up in the playoffs. So I wouldn't bank your money on putting Cal Yarncroke in the top six for your playoff lineup.
Oh, he's not. I never said anything about the top six. I said that he's the guy that's taking Reeves off. So like, he's in the bottom six. Third line, I think, because he's really good defensively. So like, now if we're
he's got his uptick. Like, I'm not gonna shit on him. I do like Cali Yarncroke, and he does have a lot of good parts to his game. It's just that in the past, in the playoffs, he hasn't been good. So I wouldn't be taking somebody.
I don't know if you're taking
him.
If you're taking him out of the lineup, I think you're kind of crazy. He's penciled in. There's no question. It's just like, I think, yes, he might not provide that, but a third line now, if we're talking like of Yarncroke, Bobby, and Dewar or Holmberg, like now we're talking about a third line that I'm feeling better about, you know, instead of it being Nyes and Robertson. So
yeah, I'm just saying, you might be able to switch Yarncroke out with one of those guys. He might be one of the guys in and out of the lineup, and I would be just fine with that.
There's also another question, is like, Yarncroke might not even be healthy. Like, we're not hearing a ton about
that
him
too.
So like, I'm not sure if maybe he's not in the first week of playoffs because he's not even ready. And like, yeah, he slots into the, you know, fourth or fifth game or second round.
Comes in during the conference final.
That's right.
And the Leafs are hot. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So talk about another guy in the bottom six there. Nicky Bobby scored the opening goal tonight. How is this guy not on your playoff roster?
I know, it's tough. Like, the more and more, like the last week of play, he's been playing different than he had all year. Not just because he's putting in the net, but like tonight he creates that offensive chance because of playing good defense. You know, he pokes the puck, it goes over to Nyes, and then he gets the break. So like, this isn't happening if he's not doing those things. And some guys need to like see it firsthand and see the success of it to actually buy in. And so like, I hope that that's what we're seeing. But like, we're arguing about like, if like Yarncroke is coming back in the lineup or not, and like Bobby and Nyes, and I just like, he just doesn't have the body type to edge those guys out.
But he's looking so much better in that area. So much better in that area. And the confidence with the puck, he made a few good moves tonight when he had the puck on his stick. It wasn't just a dump in and chase, which he's really good at. And you know, grabbing the puck and running and scoring. He actually made a couple of nice playmaking moves tonight. Like, he's getting his confidence. And Nicky Bobby, he's got to be in the playoffs. That guy's going to score a massive goal. It's going to be like game 7 first goal that you just really need that first goal. It'll be Nicky Bobby Potts one.
He, to me, is like a guy that like you're putting in the lineup to mix it up when things aren't going great. Because like, you can't play him basically in the last 10 or more minutes of a game.
Until you can.
But like currently, as he's playing really good, I still don't think that you play him in the last 10 minutes of a game. And like Keith isn't, you know, even though that he's doing the correct thing. So I like that's the problem. And I think that you're right that he could pot a really important goal. And like, and that's what you're looking
and he
for.
He could play really important scoring. Minutes in the playoffs. And like, he could do really well in those minutes. And like, he's really young. He hasn't had the experience. Dyslexic over here in the comments says Yarncroke has 5 career playoff goals. The guy's like 30.
Yeah. You know,
like Nicky Bobby could have 5 career playoff goals 2 years from now. And he'll be 23, 24. Like, yeah. You know, like that's the guy. That's my whole point about having this guy in the lineup. Defense has not been the Leafs' issue in the playoffs. I'm tapping the sign. Like, it has not been the problem. The problem has been they can't fucking score a goal. They scored 2 goals for 7 games in a row last year. Like, you need guys who can score. And Nicky Bobby's a guy who's proving he can put it in the back of the net. Getting confidence. He's starting to play better defensively. I just think that it's going to be hard for him to be the first guy out of the lineup for me. And if he is, it's going to be such a fucking Sheldon Keefe move.
Yeah, but it just has way more to do than just if you can put it in the back of the net. And these all things are great. But like if when he's on the ice tonight, I bet you that the chances for and against are probably like 9-3. And like he just ended up putting in 1 of the 3. So like that's kind of the issue I have with it. But I still go back to like, and I'm just beating a dead horse here, that like he's a good mix up guy when things aren't going great. And like you said, when we run into the same problem of not being able to put the puck in the net, then like, yeah, I think he's a great guy that you can slot in, and maybe Nyes takes a seat, or, you know, whoever, you know, Reeves or even Holmberg, like maybe that happens. But I want a lineup that I'm confident in, where I could throw anyone out there, and if they get stuck out there, like I don't feel like it's an automatic goal. And maybe that just comes down to who you have him on the line with. If he's with 2 really good defensive guys, maybe my mind changes. But yeah.
All right. We got to give some love here to Mr. 62. Franchise record once again. Austin Matthews scores his 61st and his 62nd goal of the year. What do you got to say about that, CP?
I mean, I feel like he had to get over the hump of 60. And like, I'm excited now to see how many he can really push in, because, you know, he got 2 tonight. Like, he could go on just like a few games of getting 2-2.
I just
2.
Said this last, yeah. last game. Like, yeah. He could go and on it, a tear.
It all it takes is getting past that 60 mark. It's like a big deal to get past it. So, I feel it coming. I'm excited, and especially against Tampa, who like they're going to give up chances, you know, so I could see him hopefully getting a couple there too.
Yeah. Austin Matthews, he is going to go down in history as the greatest Leaf ever, guaranteed. Like, there you know, is. there's going to be no debate in my lifetime, I don't think. And if there is, like, we will be so fucking lucky to see that. But I don't think there's going to be any debate that we were lucky enough to witness the greatest Leaf in Leaf history, which is something fucking phenomenal. And it's something I think we take for granted way too often. And I think it's just crazy that neither of us really have anything to say about the fact he scored 62 fucking goals this year. 62 goals in 74 games. Like, that's superhuman. That's stupid. And look at this guy go. He's just, they're like, oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to get out a hat trick. You know, he didn't score for all those games. Remember when he didn't score for all those games? So, like, remember?
But, you know, the problem is just the playoff success. And, like, that's why we don't even care anything to do with the regular season. Because it's just like, I want to see.
We're fucking ungrateful.
We are.
So ungrateful.
Yeah, we are. But it's the same with Marner, too. Like, what Marner does, too, and getting 100 points basically in his sleep if he's healthy. Like, not as spectacular, but obviously, but, you know, that is spectacular as well. So, both of them. Matthews is, like, a generational player. It'll be exciting. Like, I'm not excited to be 10 years down the road, but to look back on what he actually accomplished.
No, it's going to be so sad when Austin Matthews is leaving the Leafs. Like, this era's done, and it's just over, and all the roles. We better win a cup. Better fucking get a cup out of it.
Yeah, like, man.
Jesus.
Yeah.
We better get a cup.
It'd be insane if we don't.
So talking about Mitch Marner, him not being in the lineup, that is really hurting in some areas, and I guess not so much in others. The Maple Leafs power play was on an 0 for 15 skid, and then they had 15 straight penalty kills. So what do you take it out? We're talking about him not playing on the penalty kill as much. I think that might be a thing. Whatever they got, they've found it. And apparently, the Cats this season are 0 for 11 in the power play against the Leafs, or were before they scored those last couple goals. I'm not sure if any of them were on the power play.
I don't think they were. They're like an extra man, but not on the power play. Marner, like he'll play on the power play, but it's nice that we've like I think the Dewar and Kampf on the top PK or sorry on the P. We'll see Marner on the PK. And Dewar and Kampf on the top PK. I think that'll stay. But Marner's just too good to not be on there. But it is saving him minutes. And like we said last episode, or I said, like, I think he's way better than Willie on the penalty kill. And
yeah, you could easily just sit Willie and put Marner instead. That makes a whole ton of sense because whatever they have now, like that, obviously that top PK is doing it. And it's not just a top PK because they switch off. They're not just playing the whole damn time. So
no.
That group of guys that's doing it right now, they've got it figured out and just let them run with it. Let them cook. Just let them go. I wouldn't fuck with a good thing. But what you do need to fuck with is this power play, and hopefully Mitch Marner takes control of that because 0 for 15 is not good enough. I know he's a big, you know, quarterback type, and obviously Riley's out as well. But this power play, man, it's concerning. It's getting more and more concerning by the day. Do you even have any ideas of like what you would do to fix it?
Well, like, first of all, I'm not sure why Timmins and Gio are on our defensemen on the PK. Cause like, we're not, Timmins isn't playing in the playoffs, I hope. And Gio isn't either. So like, who is going to be the second PK defenseman? Cause like, I'm not expecting Liljegren to be back because based on the message that's out there, he's going to miss some time. So like, I just thought it was a waste of like, practice to not have McCabe there or Brody at that matter, because those are the guys that are actually going to be in the lineup come playoff time. So like, that was like my first thing. And Timmins just, I mean, he had a pretty bad game. That like, he defensively, he was okay, but with the puck on his stick, just not his greatest. And especially like on the blue line, on the power play, just missing easy passes. Matthews would have had an easy one timer, like wide open, and just like, it's like a couple meters west of him. So, he to me bugs me. I love that he's had some, like a little bit of success, but like, why do we have him up there? And if it's a placeholder, then like, why do we have Gio there? Like McCabe or Brody need to be.
I wonder if they were just looking at their 7-8 tonight. Like, I wonder what a 7-8 would look like in a worst case scenario. We should try it out.
Like, yeah. Right? But like, this is two games in a row now that we've been doing it. So, I don't know. Keith is using the players that he has to the best to win a game. He's just not thinking about the next game or the game after, or, you know, six or however, 8 games from now when it's the playoffs. Like, he just doesn't think about it.
Yeah, but hopefully he just continues with that mentality. And when it comes playoff time, he just uses the best players he has available to win a game. And that's what he's going to do. You know, I don't hate it. Like, the way you speak, I don't hate it. As long as it doesn't involve changing the lines 4 times during the game, I'm okay with that. Or, like, maybe not even in mid-game. He's not so bad with mid-game. It's usually in between games. You do have a bad game, then he'll change the lines, then he changes the lines back. And then, like, it's that's what I really don't like. But, you know, I think as long as he goes out and he plays the guys that put him in the best position to win, that's not a bad recipe, CP. Like, that's what you want out of your coach. He's there to coach. He's not there to play our favorite names, right? He's there to play whoever's playing the best.
No, but he's there to win a Stanley Cup. You know, like,
how do you do that? By playing the best players.
No, to get your guys ready for it. And like, we got
and
a
that's
guy
what I'm saying. So he's playing the best.
Not...
So who do you wish that was playing tonight that was available that wasn't in the lineup? I'm just not getting it.
No, on the power play. One of the guys of either Brody or McCabe is going to have to be on the power play 2 in the playoffs. Neither of Timmins or Gio. So the fact that we're playing those two guys there.
Well, no, I mean, if Liljegren's back, then it'll be Liljegren. If not, then it'll be Timmins.
That's what I said off the hop, is like, if Liljegren's not back, which is, I'm assuming he's not, based on that they're saying he's going to miss a lot of time.
Then it's Timmins. Otherwise, what the fuck is he here for?
Brody's otherwise... in the lineup over Timmins. Like, he's played decent enough on defense that like Timmins, I don't think is in it. So that's why I'm saying that.
But that's the thing. If Lilly's not here, then you think like there's still Timmins still doesn't make the lineup, even if Lilly's not there. I think he might. I think just the fact that he shoots right. Just the fact that he shoots right.
I would still like, I think Brody is still going to be in the lineup over Timmins. Like, just Timmins is just bad defensively. And so, like, and Brody is at least.
But we're talking about the power play. Talking about the power play. Just remember that, right? That's why I say if you're going to have anybody and Lilly's out, then you're right. You're right. And he might not be in the lineup, but I'm saying, and I could see them doing that. Like, earlier in the year, they scratched Simon Benoit for a right-handed shot just because.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
They wanted a right-handed shot. Yeah, you don't. Oh, you're going to make that call. Eh? You're calling down Sheldon Keefe. Kiefer, you're not making that move.
No, but it's just like
he's going to do what he's going to do.
If you asked 100 different hockey minds if you should have Brody in the lineup or Timmins, 99 are going to say you're going to have Brody in it.
Absolutely, and that one is Sheldon Keefe, and he's got a job in the NHL, and he wants a right-handed shot in his lineup, and he fucking proved that to me a month ago. You're not going to change my mind that if he wants a right-handed shot in there, that's what he's going to go with. He's going to shelter Timmins, and Timmins will be on the second power play. So it kind of does make sense. Especially if Lilly's not going to be back. I think we're all arguing over semantics because I think Lilly's going to be back. I think it doesn't matter.
That'd be awesome if Liljegren is back. But
I think he's just resting. I think if you were to go and ask right now, if it was a playoff game tomorrow, would you be there? I think everybody would be there.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't think Liljegren.
Maybe not Yarncroke.
Yeah, I don't think Liljegren would be. But like maybe in a week from now, hopefully like he gets going. But I don't know.
I don't think he'll be out that long.
Looking at the near future, I think it was a waste. And if they're putting Timmins in, like they should have fired Keefe last year then, because like that's just you're just not putting out the best lineup.
Yeah. All right. So the Leafs made a signing. They signed 22-year-old forward Jacob Killian out of Quinnipiac to a 2-year entry-level deal. And he was an undrafted forward who had 17 goals and 29 assists in 39 games at Quinnipiac University this season. He was also an assistant captain with the team. That's per Nick Barden. Killian also scored the 2023 NCAA OT championship goal that eliminated Minnesota and Matthew Knies.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of a rivalry there. Killian will join the AHL Marlies on an ATO for the rest of the season. I wonder if he ends up seeing anything. I wonder if he's a guy. I wonder.
I don't think he's a guy this year, but it's a good guy to have.
Not
in the
this
system.
Year. He's not a Matthew Knies. No, I don't think he's coming in to make an impact.
But I mean, yeah, it's a good guy to have in the system. I mean, you know, as many of those like college signings are kind of like a free draft pick. You know, because like they're kind of a little bit older than what you're drafting in the draft, but they're guys
you didn't have to develop them and they just got there themselves. You're like, perfect. That's exactly what a 22 or 23 year old is supposed to be like.
Exactly. So, yeah, sign as many as you can fit as long as you have roster spots for them. I think, especially I hear that he's like a two-way player, very smart. So, those are the guys that kind of normally can go undetected in a draft. And like you can, you know, capitalize on it later.
Yeah, so there you go. Might be nothing. He's on an ATO, so he definitely won't be playing any professional games for the Leafs. But never know. Jacob Killian. You got anything else on this game, CP?
No, I think we're good.
Who do you give a first star?
I think Ryan Reeves.
Ryan Reeves, first star. That's a great first star. Yeah. All right. Well, the Leafs host Tampa on Wednesday, and Tampa was 4 points back before the game started. I'm not sure if they played tonight, but we could be 6 points up at this point.
Tampa lost tonight.
Ooh, so less of a big game, but still a big game nonetheless. You want to beat Tampa. Mm-hmm. Put them in their spot. They could still be a force coming into the playoffs. They could be the upset team, get a wild card spot and upset somebody.
I never count them out. Yeah, like even though they're like a not quite a ghost of their former team, but kind of. But they still kind of like Kucherov is kind of a killer to me, and so I think if when he heats up at the right time, like I don't want to be the team on the other end. So yeah, I'm still nervous about them.
Also, Andre Vasilevsky. If he heats up, then like you're fucked. It's game over, shutdown.
And
so if he starts looking like the Andre Vasilevsky of the past, this Tampa Bay Lightning team could go on a run.
Yeah, and he really struggled out of the gates coming out of injury, but he's just been kind of slowly ramping up each year. He's my goalie in fantasy, so I watch him very closely. And yeah, he's starting to put together some of those performances that steal games. So tonight he wasn't able to do it, but you know, he can kind of at any moment do it. Like, he's got the skill, no question.
And also trade deadline pickup, Anthony Duclair. Hell of a start. In Tampa, he had like 12 points in 9 games in a graphic I seen the other day. Like, he's just cooking over there, so that should be an interesting game. They're definitely winding up, they're wanting to fight for a playoff spot, they're going to want to win every single game they can. You know, they're going to play the Leafs tough. We'll have to see what version of Andre Vasilevsky we get. We'll be back after that game. For now, that's a wrap. Split the Defense, Leafs post game. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe to our YouTube. Please rate and review the show. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs postgame edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.